Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse number 7. The Bible says, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation which was without the camp. And it came to pass, when Moses went out into the tabernacle, that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle." And here's a phrase I want you to pay careful attention to. "And the Lord talked with Moses." Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a day where I believe communication has come with greater ease now more than ever. I had a humbling thing happen to me several months ago. I was in a building with my two boys, and as we were there, they looked on top of a file cabinet and they saw a conspicuous looking object, and they said, "Dad, what is that?" And I looked, and lo and behold, folks, it was a rotary dial telephone. When they said that, it made me feel aged, and I thought, "Well, boys, that's a rotary dial phone." And they said, "How does it work?" And so I went over there and I picked it up and I said, "Well, if you stick your finger in the right number and you turn it all the way to the metal piece and take it out and let it go back, if you dial the right 10 numbers," we have to dial the area code where we're at, "if you dial the right 10 numbers in order, you can call your mom, you can call other people." And you know, for the next 10 minutes, they spent dialing everybody that they knew, saying that they were talking on a rotary dial phone. I look at some of you tonight and you'd say, "Oh, communication has come a long ways." There are some of you that say, "You know, I'm into all of the modern technology that's out there." You say, "I email, I text, I Skype," and on it goes. Now, there are some of you here tonight, you've tried to resist the flood. You've said, "I'm not going to go the way of the world, and I'm not going to go that business of technology." But even you tonight have a cell phone. And whether you realize it or not, you've come some way in the idea of communication. I'll never forget when texting first came out, became popular on phones. I remember when I first tried it, when I would have to push the same button three times to get to the right letter. And to be quite honest, I thought, "This is so foolish. Why would anybody want to do this?" But now I've been introduced to greater things. And now, just in a few swipes of your finger, all of a sudden, you can send a message off. Now, I'm not one of these guys that texts the person right beside of me. There's some of you that do that. Listen, you need to learn to open your mouth and look somebody in the eye and have some old-fashioned communication. But texting does, I believe, have its place, just like email and everything else. It's hard for me to believe that at just simply the few keystrokes and a push of a button, I can send an email to one of my friends that I was in college with, who's on the other side of the world in Kenya, East Africa. In a matter of moments, he gets it. We all have to admit tonight that communication in our day and age has become such a convenient thing. But ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you tonight that there's a grave, grave misconception in our minds, in that we have become so enamored with communicating with each other, and yet perhaps more than ever, we have been disinterested in communicating with God. Imagine with me some young person with 1,000 texts or an unlimited texts a month plan. Imagine with me if they were as consumed with communicating with God as they were their friend. Imagine with me tonight the man in this room that can type emails a mile a minute. Imagine if he was as consumed with communicating with God as he is with man. I'm afraid that the very thing that has become a convenience in our day and time many times has become a curse. And we have depended more on human communication than divine communication. We can blame it on the busyness of our day. We can blame it on the gadgetry that's now available on many technological websites. But when it's all said and done, the deficiency is in our hearts. We have been lured away by the world, and we've been more consumed with human communication than divine. And I want to rewind a few thousand years ago and take you to the life of a man by the name of Moses. And I want you to see the specialness of his communication with God. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all of my heart tonight that our communication with God ought to be just as special with us tonight as it was Moses. What that means this evening is we have to admit the callousness of our hearts. We have to admit that we have gotten too busy, and we have to slow down and let God speak to us. And I want to show you some things from the verses tonight. Now, in verse number 7, the Bible tells us about this thing that is called a tabernacle. I'll not go into grand detail, but simply put, the tabernacle was a glorified tent, so to speak. It was a tent that God had constructed that was set up with certain dimensions, made of certain fabrics, and it was all set up so that in the nation of Israel it would be known as the dwelling place of God. It was a place that carried great significance. Now, by no means tonight do I equate the church with Israel or the tabernacle to the church, but I will tell you this, there ought to be a little bit of significance when we come to the house of God to worship. There ought to be an anticipation. There ought to be in our hearts a swelling up knowing that God wants to communicate with us and we should drop everything and listen. Not because of a preacher tonight, but listen to me, because of a book that God has given us to communicate His truth. But this tabernacle was known as the dwelling place of God. Let me tell you tonight what I believe is the New Testament parallel to this tabernacle. Now remember, I said to you in the Old Testament here, this tabernacle was the dwelling place of God. Do you know what the dwelling place of God is in the New Testament? It's your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. There's no reason tonight, child of God, why we can't worship and why we can't communicate with God and why He can't communicate with us. Because the Holy Spirit Himself dwells within us. So we find Moses at the tabernacle. And then in verse number 8, it says, "And it came to pass when Moses went out into the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle." You know why they did that, ladies and gentlemen? Because they realized that what Moses was doing was a special thing. There was a recognition among all of the camp of Israel. They were saying, "Hey, this is important." I believe they stopped what they were doing. And they said, "Look, the man of God is going into the tabernacle of God. That's an important thing." Ladies and gentlemen, worship tonight was not only important in Exodus chapter 33, but every time we enter into the presence of God, it is an important thing. Everybody in this room tonight has priorities. If you're like me, you've read books about prioritization. You've read books about organization. You've read books about time management. And in all of those books, you know what you're going to find? You'll make time for the things that are most important to you. And for Moses, it was an important thing to meet with God. I ask you tonight, is it important for you to meet with God? Now, those first two verses come by way of introduction, verse number 9. "And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended." That cloudy pillar was symbolic of God's presence. Now, the nation of Israel was led by a cloudy pillar during the day. They were led by a pillar of fire at night. Now, wouldn't you like it to be that simple today? You say, "Lord, I'll tell you, I just need to know, do I need to go to Walmart or do I need to go to Kmart? Lord, do I need to go this route? Is there going to be a traffic jam there? Or do I need to go this route?" And I just simply look, and wherever the cloud is, I follow it. You say, "Well, it's nighttime. No problem. Just follow the pillar of fire." Sometimes we long and wish, and we say, "Oh, I wish it was just that simple." Well, I'll tell you what. I'd rather live like I live now and trust God and just follow Him than to live back in the day of Israel and follow that cloudy pillar or that pillar of fire and die in the wilderness. But my friend, God is leading people just as much tonight as He was back in Israel's day. He may not use a cloudy pillar, He may not use a pillar of fire, but I will tell you this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Sometimes I wish that God would peel back the blinders of familiarity from our eyes so that we could really appreciate that verse. So God's leading them. Here He comes over a cloudy pillar over the tabernacle, stood over the door of the tabernacle. Now the last phrase is what I want you to pay careful attention to. It says, "And the Lord talked with Moses." You know, when you get this close to Washington, D.C., there may be some of you who have met or you have talked to or you've had important people talk to you. Now, living down in Lattimore, North Carolina, you know, there's just not a ton of important people. That's way out of the way. But you know, I still remember when I was 4 years old. Every Saturday morning, I would watch a cartoon show, and the host of that cartoon show, his name was Fred Kirby. I'll never forget Fred Kirby. Fred Kirby was the epitome of the good guy. He wore white pants, white cowboy boots, a red shirt, white tassels, and a big 5-gallon white hat. And every Saturday morning, I watched Fred Kirby. And one day, my dad came to me and he said, "Alton," he said, "I've got a treat for you. I'm going to take you to Tweetsie Railroad." That's an amusement park. It's an old mountain-type theme park in the western North Carolina. And during that time, they had a featured guest who was there every day during the summer months. You guessed it was Fred Kirby. As a 4-year-old, I thought, "I am going to meet Fred Kirby. I've got to pinch myself. I can't believe this." I'd watched him for a long time, it seemed like, and now I was getting to meet him. And I remember the whole time as we were driving up the Tweetsie Railroad, all I could think about, I didn't think about the curves, I didn't think about anything else. All I could think about is, "I am going to talk to Fred Kirby," and I let everybody know about it. I remember paying that fare, and we went inside the gate, and boy, I looked, and there were two horses. There was a tall horse that was for big partners, and there was a small horse for little partners like me, and right beside of it, in the flesh, was Fred Kirby. I don't remember what I said to Fred Kirby. I probably said my name 5 times, and that I'd watched his TV program religiously every Saturday morning. But that man shook my hand and he talked with me. And you know, after that, any kid that came near me, the first words out of my mouth, "Did you know I talked to Fred Kirby?" Now tonight, when you leave this service, you'll be driving home and you'll say, "Fred who? I can't even remember that guy's last name." But it meant all the world to me as a 4-year-old boy. Hey, I'm talking to some of you tonight. Maybe you've had a celebrity talk to you, or maybe you've had somebody of some political stature talk to you, or somebody that was famous talk to you. And boy, you went away from that conversation saying, "You'll never guess who talked with me." You know, as great as those things are, ladies and gentlemen, every child of God has the privilege of getting up off his knees and walking away from his Bible and saying to a world, "Do you know who just talked to me?" We have lost that freshness. We have lost that awareness, and it is killing us with every passing day. I understand God's not going to talk to you in an audible voice. Why is it, by the way, that we always think God speaks in a deep voice? You know, I'm a tenor. I'd like to think that God speaks with a high voice, but maybe it is like thunder. And God has never spoken to me audibly, but ladies and gentlemen, every day He wants to speak to me through this book. And the Lord talked with Moses. We've become so overwhelmed with mankind talking to us when every day we ought to thank God that He talks to us through His Word. Folks, I want to ask you, what is the greatest line of communication you've got open tonight? My friend, you need to return to communicating with God. Now, notice with me a little farther in verse number 10. It says, "And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door." Imagine with me, Moses has gone in, everybody sees it, and the Bible says that they rose up and they worshiped. I don't have the time to fully develop this tonight, but understand that worship is one of the most misunderstood words in our churches today. Now, it's been confused in religion in general. If we do outward practices, that is worship. If we do outward ceremonies, that is worship. And not only has religion in general complicated things, but also we in Bible preaching churches have complicated things. We talk about how that we're going to a worship service, and worship is the farthest thing from our minds. We talk about how that we're going to go to a worship service, and yet our hearts are unyielded. When you go throughout the Old Testament, the first time that you'll find the word worship mentioned in the English language, you'll find it in Genesis chapter 22, when Abraham says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and will come again unto you." And even from the very first mention of it in the English, in the Bible, you know what we find? Worship is not cheap, and worship demands sacrifice. Worship demands the very meaning of the word in the Old Testament, submission. What am I saying? It's impossible for us to worship without a submissive heart. It is impossible for us to worship and to adore when our hearts are not bending and our hearts are bowed in rebellion. We live in a day and time, ladies and gentlemen, where we've learned how to bow our heads and we have failed to learn how to bow our hearts. I think about a woman in the New Testament. Oh boy, she was talking about religion and she was talking about worship. As a matter of fact, she didn't realize it at the outset, but she was talking not only about worship, but she was talking to the one who should be worshiped, Jesus Christ. You remember? Jesus meets her at the well. He tells her about living water that she could partake of and never drink again. And after perplexing her with that, he says, "Why don't you go get your husband?" And she said, "I don't have one." And this man that she had not met previously looks at her and said, "You know what? You've said well. As a matter of fact, you've had five of them, and the one you're with is not your husband." Her response is classic. "I perceive thou art a prophet." But I'm so glad that before that story is over with, she all of a sudden pulls out the worship card and she starts talking about worship. She said, "Our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, 'Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what.'" We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father, listen to this, seeketh such to worship Him. There may be some of you, you've been looking in the classified ads. You've been saying, "Oh, tonight I'm looking in the classified ads. I'm looking for a job." Hey, if we had some heavenly classifieds, it would say God wants us to worship Him. And if you'll worship Him in spirit and truth, you've got a job. What was all of this about tonight? It was about worship to God, submission to Him. But let's conclude by looking at verse number 11. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, face to face." Let's stop there. Face to face. I ask you this question as we think about this verse this evening. Has any person ever seen God face to face? Some of you say that's a trick question. Has anybody in this room with your two eyes physically seen God? I remember teaching a children's Bible class years ago. I had kindergartners through sixth grade in that Bible class. And I remember teaching it and I asked a question, and after this I learned this fact. You don't ask little kids questions because you never know what they're going to say. I'll never forget it. I asked the kids that day in class, I said, "How many of you have ever seen God?" Now, I knew what the answer was supposed to be. All of them were supposed to look at me with a blank stare and just shake their head. But there's always one. This little boy has parents from West Virginia. I'll never forget when I said, how many of you have ever seen God? Immediately this hand shot up. I thought to myself, what am I going to do? So I did the only thing I knew to do is I said, okay, Ryan. I said, Ryan, have you ever seen God? And he looked at me and he went. And after that definitive nod, I said, well, if you've seen God, I said, where have you seen Him at? And boy, just as sincere with a deep Southern accent, he said, I saw Him on television. So I looked at him, and as tenderly as I could as his Bible teacher that day, I said, Ryan, I said, I don't know what you saw. I said, now you may have saw somebody acting or pretending like they were God or speaking in the stead of God. But I said, Ryan, I've got to tell you this. The Bible tells us that no man has seen God at any time. That's what the Bible tells us. And so, Ryan, I have to tell you that no man has ever seen God. And I'll never forget his look. I had dashed this boy's hopes. I can still remember him focused on me, and I said, Ryan, do you understand? And he went, mouth open and all. Now, folks, if none of us have ever, if no one in this room has ever seen God with their eyes, then what in the world does it mean when it says, and Moses, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face? Folks, what it's emphasizing tonight is not a physical proximity, but I will tell you this, it's emphasizing a spiritual proximity, face to face. It's talking about intimacy. We strive for intimacy in marriages, and that ought to be there. But one of the best things for an intimacy, to draw greater intimacy in your marriage, is to have a greater intimacy with God. Every person in this room has a personal zone. Do you know that? You ever had somebody get in your personal zone that didn't belong there? You know, sometimes as preachers, we stand in the back lobby and somebody who's very well-meaning, very expressive, very intense, likes to get within that about 18-inch section right in front of me that I don't like. There's been times that when they do that, I just simply back up. But it sure is a sad day when both of your heels click against the wall and you backed up as far as you can go. Every person in here tonight, you know what, that you say, there's a space that, you know what, only my wife or my spouse can get in there. That's it. And my children. Anybody else? And it's a death wish. You can't get in there. Can I just ask you just a good old-fashioned practical question about where you're at with God tonight? When's the last time you've been face-to-face with Him? Now, we can all put on our halos tonight and we can make out as if we're the greatest thing since the Apostle Paul. Or you know what? We can just be honest this evening and say, you know what? I look back in my life and there was certainly a time where I was more tender and I was more intense and I was more passionate about spending time with God. And tonight I find myself greatly lacking in that face-to-face communication. That's where it's at tonight, folks. Several years ago, I was traveling with a group from Ambassador, and we had we'd come to the point where it was about 3 weeks into the tour. My wife was carrying our second child, Jared. Jared's now 12 years old, so it's been a few years ago. I'll never forget while we were out on that tour, in the middle of that tour, my wife was having some complications, and we went to the hospital that night. Long story short, she had to have emergency surgery. God spared the life of our boy, and she had to go home while for the next 4.5 weeks, I was trapped with 4 other guys from the college as we were going from church to church. Now, mind you, this was before cell phones had become popular, and I was using those phone cards. You remember those phone cards where you had to type in a 1-800 number and then you had to type in 40 digits and then you had to type in the number that you were calling and all you had to do was mess up one to start the whole process over again? I kept AT&T in business for the entire summer. Every night I couldn't wait to get to a phone. And boy, I was dialing away. Honey, tell me what's going on. How are you doing? How are you feeling? How's Andrew doing? And we did that for 4 weeks. I'll never forget the last service we had in Newark, Ohio. I came to the pastor. We got there on a Sunday afternoon. I said, Pastor, I want to make an unusual request. I said, I've been away from home for over 4 weeks. My wife had to go home because of surgery. And I've been calling her every night now for the last 4 weeks and some. And you have probably made arrangements for us to stay after this service tonight. And Pastor, if it is offensive, we'll stay. But I'll tell you what, if there's any way at all, I could just cut loose and go home tonight. It's an 8-hour drive, but I'll be okay. I'll be awake the whole time, I promise. Would you let me do it? He said, son, you need to go. He said, we'll fix that. And the service was over with. We packed up the display and we got home. Those boys are sleeping. And the only thing I can think about is I'm about to get home and I'm going to be face to face with my wife. And boy, it was a grand time when I pulled up into the Beale residence and I put the van in park. And I went in the back door and boy, I saw my wife and my son. And boy, we had face to face fellowship. It is one of the strongest illustrations of my life of the power of intimate fellowship. And that's what God wants you to have tonight. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, and here's where we conclude, as a man speaketh unto his friend. I was reading an article the other day that talked about how that many times you may only have two or three close friends, very close friends in your lifetime. I don't care how much of a socialite you are, or how much of a recluse you are. I'm glad tonight that through the power of the gospel this evening, you can have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If you're here this evening and you'd say, well, I've always felt lonely. I've never felt like I've been in a family. My friend, once you become a part of the family of God, you gain the dearest friend you've ever had. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And nobody in this world has to be lonely. It's by their own choice if they are. And this friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, laid down His life for the entire world so that we all might be saved. And life does not end at salvation, but it begins. And our journey with that wonderful friend can become sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter if we take the opportunity to enjoy it. There are some of you tonight, you won't be able to get out those back doors without pulling out your phone and checking your text. There's some of you tonight, when you go out to the parking lot, before you do, you'll make the slow, casual draw. And you'll check for that email or that message. You know, I'm not knocking you tonight, but I'm just saying this. It's a shame when we live in a day and time where we as believers in churches are more caught up about hearing from everyone else but God. And you know what I'd like for you to do in the middle of a busy week? In a moment, it's not just to bow your head, but to bow your heart and to size yourself up and leave here making your communication with God the most important line of communication you have. Let's bow our heads together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'd like for Kevin to come to the piano in just a moment to play Draw Me Nearer, Blessed Lord. And during this brief invitation, I want to ask you these questions tonight. There are some of you this evening, you go through life and maybe you feel as if you don't have a friend in life. Listen, God wants to be your Father and Jesus Christ wants to be the greatest friend you've ever had, but you've got to trust Him. You've got to accept that free gift of salvation. And I wonder if there'd be some here tonight and you'd say, you know, preacher, as I heard the message this evening, I've gone through life with real no great companionship, no great guide, no true friend, but tonight I've been shown that the Lord Jesus gave His life on the cross for me. And as I sit here tonight, I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved, but I'd like to leave here knowing that I've got that dear friend, Jesus Christ, in my life. And you'd say tonight, preacher, I'm here, I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved. God's been dealing in my heart, and I want to leave here tonight knowing that dearest friend. Would you pray for me? Listen, friend, if that's you tonight, I'll not embarrass you. All that I ask you to do is hold your hand up high long enough for me to see it so that I can acknowledge it, and I promise that I'll pray for you tonight. Anybody like that as I look across the auditorium this evening? Thank you. I see that hand. I wonder if there'd be another here tonight, and you'd say, would you pray for me? God's dealing in my heart about this matter. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. I see that hand. You see, tonight, the Lord Jesus, after giving His life for you, He wants to see you saved and He wants to see you walking with Him. He wants you tonight to know that He's your friend and by your side. But that doesn't come until, first of all, you're saved and you know it. In a few moments during this song of invitation, I want to just give you time in this midweek service. If that's you, you'd say, preacher, I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved, but I'd like to leave here tonight knowing that, dearest friend, you can tonight, and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure. And listen to me, we'll not embarrass you, we'll take you aside and show you from the Bible. Now, I believe God's working in your heart tonight, and I hope that you'll come. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Now, Christian, I want to ask you a question this evening. By the way, it's a question that I have to ask myself from time to time. I wonder how many here tonight you'd say, Brother Bill, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt about it. But oh, has God shown me something about myself tonight? And you'd say, Brother Bill, I've become a lot more consumed with human communication than divine communication. It may be that there's some you've not spent time in the Word. Some of you, you've been very impersonal with God. You've not had that intimacy that you once had. I don't know exactly what area, what vein God's dealing in your heart tonight, but I wonder how many of you here tonight, as the children of God, as Christians, you'd say, Brother Bill, tonight, oh, God has shown me that I've got to get back to making divine communication the greatest priority in my life, and by God's grace, I want to finish the rest of the week more consumed about divine communication than human communication. And I wish you'd remember me in prayer tonight. Christian, if that's you, would you slip your hand up tonight? God bless you. God bless you. Several here tonight, thank you so much. You can put them down. In a moment, we're just going to have him play just softly a hymn of invitation. My invitation is very simple for you, and that's to seek the Lord while He may be found. You're here tonight and you'd say, preacher, I'm either not sure, I know that I'm not saved, but I'd like to leave here knowing that, dearest friend. Listen, if you'll come to the front tonight, one of the staff members here at the church will meet you and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how you can know that, dearest friend. You're here tonight, Christian. Listen, I know that it's been a busy week. This service more than likely has been longer than normal. And I don't presume upon that a bit. All that I'd ask you to do, would you slow down tonight and just stop long enough to give this portion of your life back to God? I want to encourage you, as God moves in your heart, to come tonight and draw nearer to our blessed Lord. Let's stand together, our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Father, tonight, Lord, as we conclude this service, I pray for those here tonight that, Lord, have indicated that they're either not sure, know that they're not saved. I pray that, Lord, when this invitation is given, that they'd come see Pastor Edwards. And Lord, I ask you tonight that they would leave here not only knowing that they've been in church, but knowing that they've been included in the family of God. And that, Lord, tonight they would become acquainted with that friend, His name, the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray for my Christian brothers and sisters here tonight. Would you help us just for a few moments to erase the busyness of life and tonight draw nearer to our blessed Lord? I pray that this would be a time that would be marked by obedience and a time that, Lord, our hearts would be drawn closer to you in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed as they play tonight. Listen, you're here tonight. You say, I'm either not sure or I know that I'm not saved. Would you come? You're here tonight, Christian, and you say, I need to draw nearer to the Lord. I need to put that communication, the divine communication is the priority. Why don't you come tonight? Would you do that? Just step out and come. You'd say tonight, would you? Lord, help me to get my priorities right. Lord, may I anticipate your word more than a text message or an email. Lord, may I look more forward tonight to hearing from your word than dealing with the things of this life. Listen, why don't you come tonight? You say, preacher, Brother Bill, I've got to get this communication prioritized. Listen, why don't you come this evening? You're here tonight. You'd say, I don't know Christ as my Savior. Why don't you step out and come this evening? One has come. Why not you? You have nothing to be embarrassed about. You're among friends. Won't you come tonight? You'd say, I need that dearest friend. I want to leave here knowing Christ is my Savior. Why don't you come right now? Christian, you're here tonight. We're not going to belabor the invitation. We're not going to elongate it any more than necessary. But you're here this evening. God's dealing in your heart. I want to ask you, why don't you come, Christian? Why don't you not only bow your knee, but bow your heart and anticipate His working tonight? And the Lord talked with Moses. I'll assure you, the greatest message you'll ever hear is that from the Lord, don't you? Delay. Don't you delay tonight. After this verse, the invitation is over with. I want to tell you something. In a moment, we'll head out these doors and we'll head home. We'll be with our loved ones, but will we have that face-to-face communication with God? We so desperately need it tonight. I'm going to ask Pastor if he would to close tonight and to come and close as he sees fit. If you need to come tonight, this time is yours. And the Lord talked with Moses face to face as a man speaketh with his friend.